Who's the best listener you know?
That's a good question.
Or who's a good listener you know that you would?
You know, I think of Drew McClellan.
Okay. Why Drew?
He pauses between what is said to him and his response. There's a pause.
Okay.
So even if he thinks it's baloney, the speaker says, oh, he's pondering. He listened. So I think of Drew McClellan.
So his pauses show you that he's listening.
Yeah.
Okay.
By his activity, he listens.
All right.
Other than that, except for other people in the room right now, I can't think of any.
Okay. What about companies? What companies do you think listen really well?
I think Hy-Vee listens.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd go along with that. Why Hy-Vee?
Well, I think Hy-Vee listens on the short term and the long term. I've seen, not experienced so much as I've seen and heard other customers talk about instances, but I also see changes made to their operation based on what's said to them. You know, people saying, hey, there's a new product, can you get it? I think, you know, this one's going to surprise. I think Mediacom listens. I don't know if they have the ability to act, but they've proven that they listen. I think Best Buy does a great job of listening. I think GoDaddy does a great job of listening. And it's almost pre-listening. GoDaddy looks at where their customer's history is and almost, what's the word I'm trying to think of? They almost anticipate what their customers are going to need and listen to that anticipation. So they're listening with their gut. They're listening with their experience. And then they reach out to the customer and say, we've noticed this. We're listening. Tell us what you want. So if you have a domain name or if you only have one email and it's getting overloaded, they'll call you up and say, you're kind of pushing the limit. You want to do something about it? And if so, what? So I think they listen.
Gotcha. So like the notices that I get from GoDaddy where they say, this domain's about to expire. You really want that?
Exactly. And they call you, too. I mean,
yeah,
at least I've been... I think they're anticipating, and it's really an active listener. It's a proactive listener.
It is. Okay. I agree with Hy-Vee, too, because Hy-Vee, when I've gone in there, they always ask me at the checkout, did you find everything you needed today?
Right.
Now, Dolls does the same thing, but if I tell them no, they'll say, oh, well, you know, what did you miss? Well, I couldn't find it in the store. Well, you know, we don't carry that. But if Hy-Vee does that, Hy-Vee will say, well, hold on, let me get a manager. And then Joe, the manager, will come over, and he'll say, hey, I'll give the, you know, let me order that for you. I'll call you when it comes in.
Exactly.
Let me take the number. They've done that with me 3 times.
You know, you just reminded me of a story. First time I went in Hy-Vee here, I said, do you carry bread pudding? The lady said, no, but I have a great recipe. Can I make some for you? 3 days later, she called me at home and had bread pudding.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Ah, dynamite.
They didn't even sell it. I forgot about that. I got to blog about that. You are a great listener.
Thank you.
Oh,
right. What was her name, by the way? Don't know. Was it this Westlake side?
Yeah, it's been like 3 years, 3.5 years ago now. So. Still there, though. I see her.
That's great service.
I say, hey.
Right.
She goes, bread pudding.
So I'll agree. How does Best Buy listen?
Well, first of all, they listen to the blogosphere. Anytime there's a complaint about Best Buy, they know.
Really?
And then they proactively, depending on the influence of the voice and the legitimacy of the complaint, they will try to correct things, and they will do whatever it takes.
Gotcha.
So that's one way they listen. I think they also listen to their customers before they became customers. They heard people complain about getting things at CompUSA and other commission-based stores, and the customers were feeling they got taken. So Best Buy doesn't have commission-based pay. And I think that enables them to listen. because there is no dollar signs in their ears. Love that one.
That's good. All right, now, I know that you have on occasion talked about companies that didn't perform as you would have expected in terms of customer service. And there have been times that that's happened, and you've been able to have the company listen to you. Like, I know the Panera's reached out to you on a couple of occasions, and that they've actually engaged you. And so you felt like they were listening when they did that, right?
Yeah, eventually it came around. I mean, you speak loud enough, pretty soon people are going to listen, yes.
Okay. Do you have an example, or would you be willing to share an example of a company that didn't listen well? Or where you tried to engage them to help them, teach them, just whatever the reason, and they weren't open to it at all?
Yeah, Borders.
Huh? How so?
Borders had a large loss because they wouldn't listen. A conversation took place on an instance, and I hate basing whole things on instances, but there was an instance and they didn't listen, so I wrote a note to the management explaining the larger picture, and they asked some questions. I answered their questions about how it was a dissatisfying experience and how it might cost them X amount of dollars a month, which was, like you, way up there.
Yeah.
And they said, well, can we use your letter in training? I said, yours or your employees? Because frankly, they didn't hear me. I was saying, you're about to lose a customer. And their sole purpose for their call seemed to be, can we train our employee on this letter? And my reaction was, are you not listening to me now? Because I'm still saying, you're about to lose a customer, and all you're saying, your goal for this call is just to be able to use this letter rather than save the customer. And, you know, and then I told them, I said, here's what I spend, and I even wrote them the numbers. Here's what I spend at Borders per month. Here's what I spend at Amazon per month. Just in case you didn't know, they're both the same. And then, you know, that's a lot of money per month. And I haven't bought anything from Interplay since. Because they didn't listen. And here's my take. What happens if there's another problem? Are they going to listen next time? Where at Panera, I'm married to Panera.
Right.
There have been challenges. There have been arguments.
But worked it out.
We worked it out. One of us took the high road, and we hugged. And we break bread together now. And we always will. I know what the result is going to be the next time we have a problem. I talk too much, huh?
No, not at all. I was just thinking, though, so how do you get through to the upper levels of a company? Do you find that it's the employee who takes ownership of it and moves it upward for you, or do you find that it's just you being persistent and loud, where you're like, let me speak to your manager, let me speak to your manager, let me speak to your manager,
caring for others the way we do, I understand that on the other side of that complaint is a human being. So I never try to get loud unless that person is the one to blame.
I'm not suggesting you're offensive.
Yeah, no, but if there's a defense up, loud is not going to go through the defense. You've either got to touch the fringe and do an end around or just drop it. How do you get to management if it's a listening company?
Mm-hmm.
The customer doesn't have to train them to listen.
Gotcha.
A listening company will recognize, well, either that or they will recognize the loss of customership. They will recognize the void. They will hear it from the fringe. And what I mean by that is, rather than listening to the customer, they may hear it from a different touch point, a vendor that they use. You know, it'll be a trusted third party delivering a message.
Because in a large company, it's not usually the management that you're interacting with. So is it more the case then that they have to have a culture where there's a...
Absolutely a culture. And I think in Nordstrom, I mean, you hear some great...
Nordy's always behind me.
Oh, and in fact, sometimes I think it's their PR department, but then I hear from people, you know, it's amazing maybe it's their form of not listening, but they have one goal, satisfy the customer, whatever. That's part of their culture. It's well-trained. Everybody sings from that book. By the same token, you know, it's got to be a listening culture.
Okay. Do you think technology helps?
I think
people
it can.
Listen. Give me an example.
The blogosphere and RSS feeds, an absolute must. Everybody's a content publisher. With blogs now, you can dump your brain. You can vent. You can applaud. But basically, it's a brain dump. It's a memory archiver. It's a venting agent. And if companies are not listening actively to the blogosphere and then engaging that brain dump, they're going to lose their customers. By the same token, voicemail, speed of call. I mean, when you call a big company, national company, and it says, we're too busy, your average waiting time is 18 months, and you get your bill and you see that they raised rates. Why? So I could wait 16 minutes? I mean, just they have to put pieces in place to listen now.
Okay. What's an example of how technology hurts listening?
Laziness.
Really?
Yeah. I think we rely on the technology of the automated answering machine. Push 1 if you want to speak English, 2 if you want to speak Spanish, push 3 if you want to do this, push 8 if you want to do this. 18 minutes later, now we got to wait 5 minutes for a human being. You know, the voice recognition, however, is good. Sprint does this. Hi, welcome to Sprint. Please enunciate clearly and tell us what your question is. At least I'm talking. I'm taking an action with my body and brain. I'm not sitting here going like this, figuring out which, you know, counting on my fingers, figuring out which option I want. And then I got a reply. Was it one? Because I had to wave.
Yeah. Okay, I think the best one for me is 2. Or was it 3?
Right.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't... Companies expect their customers to listen. Get this. I go into a store the first time. Hi, can I have a blank? No, we don't have any of those. Oh, are you going to have them? No, we've never carried them. With an attitude like, and I want to say, hello, this is my first day working here. You've been here for a little while. You've been trained. I haven't.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the customer's job to listen. They should, but it's not the customer's job to listen.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was in the property management business,
we try to insist that the customer listen or make them listen.
Yeah, absolutely. But really, it's the culture, too. I mean, it's the culture hierarchy. You know, when somebody like Panera, we'll take Panera as an example. Panera tells the young person who's working here, here's the process. The process is what keeps us going. And the person at cash register number 2 is told never to leave a station with the cash register unattended. So a customer comes up and goes up to cash register 1, because that's over in the bakery, and cash register number 2 is standing over there with the person saying, nothing, waiting for the customer to come down here where he was told to wait. And the customer's at the bakery saying, can I get some help? No, I'm only open down here.
Right.
The customer didn't know that.
Why should they?
But the young person working behind the cash register wasn't told that you should go to the customer and lead them. You see, we don't lead the way in listening. We expect instant followership. Can we rewind that?
Followership, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Second question.
No, I was just looking to see what else I got. I was going to ask you, so when you work with businesses, you work with a lot of different businesses.
Yeah.
I would assume that some of your coaching that you do to businesses is to help them listen better.
Yes.
How do you do that?
Well, first I have to listen to what they want, their goal is.
Okay.
And then I ask them how they can assist their customer to, how they can get their customer to assist them. So it's almost like, you know, okay, your customer's your boss. Listen to them.
Okay.
And be trained by your customer.
Okay.
Don't be in such a hurry to talk. Everybody wants to post on a blog. Those who decide, okay, I want to blog. And they want to blog today. And they want to know when they're going to get somebody buying their product from their blog. Should have been blogging 6 months ago. The first step is go read other blogs. I don't have time to read other blogs. Then why will anybody have time to read yours? You've got to listen first. In foreign cultures, and I say foreign meaning cultures that actually understand what listening is all about. Paris, Mexico, Italy, the old countries. You go up to a conversation, you kind of hunker down, listen for a while, and you'd be acknowledged your presence. And then you'd clear your throat and say a little bitty thing. And people nod their head, and that was acceptance. And then pretty soon you're part of the conversation. But if you came up and said, yada, 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 here's my opinion, right when you got there, that crowd would break up and lose you. And too many companies are trying to do that, A, in the blogosphere, B, in the marketplace. By the way, that's the same thing. There's got to be a relationship. And the best way to build a relationship is listen first.
Okay. So you teach people to listen better by first teaching them they have to not say anything for a while. Because one of the things that you do is you tell them, you know, go ahead and blog, but do it privately, not publicly, for 30 days.
Right.
In the meantime, let's build up your feeds.
Right.
Right. How do you help them determine what it is that they should be listening to?
Well, and that's a good question, but let me answer that question. But can I add on to the...
Absolutely, yeah.
When we're kids, we emulate.
Yeah.
You know, the most popular saying for a toddler is no. Why? Because that's pretty much the only word they've listened to for the last 6 months. No. Right?
Yes.
Time to go to bed, Johnny. No. Mom gets all mad that Johnny keeps saying no. Where'd you learn that from? Hello?
Right.
Because every other word you said, no. When we're growing up as human beings, we learn by listening. In fact, we copy what we hear. Which is probably why I think we read what we already sort of agree with. But anyway, that's another recording. As far as learning what to listen to, it has to be somebody with some influence. You know, what do you listen to? What's important to you? What is your goal? Second, what is your customer's goal? Are we talking blogosphere now? I can't get the blogosphere out of my head.
It doesn't matter.
You got to listen. You really got to listen. You got to listen to what people are saying or writing, not only about you, but about your competition, about the industry, about anything. You know, if I'm a car dealer, I want to know why that customer hated that restaurant. Because you know what? I have a fast food thing, desk called parts. You know, repair. What can I learn from that? So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
basically any customer. Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you mentioned Drew McClellan being a great example of, do you think that part of the reason he's successful in marketing is because he does listen well?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
He'll tell you that. If you don't listen to your customer, how do you know what to say?
Right.
If you don't know what's valuable to your customer, all you're doing is preaching. And what if that's not what they want?
Right.
You know, if I'm selling peanut butter and jelly, what if my customers want peanut butter and chocolate? Maybe I should get out of the jelly business.
Have it your way.
That's right. You know, or either get that or go preach to a different audience, the one that likes peanut butter and jelly.
Right.
But why am I going to spend $10,000 on a full-page ad to a peanut butter and jelly or peanut butter and chocolate culture if I'm peanut butter and jelly? The only way you learn that is by listening.
I agree with that.
And marketers aren't liars. The customers are liars. But if customers are liars, listen to what they're lying about. Totally different topic.
Okay. So what tips would you give people to learn or to listen better?
Know that you can learn anything from anybody all the time.
Great point.
Begin with a beginner's mindset every time out. Get off your pedestal. You're going to get a nosebleed.
Aren't you teaching humility?
Yeah. That's good listening. That was very well listened.
Thank you.
Really, that's it at the core. I mean, I could learn. There's a four-year-old kid here.
Yeah.
I learned from him today.
Anybody, anywhere.
Anybody, anywhere, all the time.
Yeah. Okay.
Whether it be a practice, a look, an innocence. I mean, the thing, and kids are great. Because kids are so totally brutally honest. We don't listen to kids. And I'm not talking about in the educational sense. But go to a mall and watch kids interact. Kids will be all about self until their peers come along. And then they're totally different people. And you kind of wonder, do we do that as adults? And then you realize, yes. And you're listening with your eyes at that point. And then all of a sudden the kid stands up straighter and you can see him. Where do we get that from? It's very unlike the no, because they emulate that. But where's the interest? You know? Or watching a kid watching the escalator, trying to figure it out. He's got a beginner's mindset. But now we're big companies and we have RSS feeds. And we don't want to figure it out.
Okay, Andrew, thank you.
We're there.
Stop listening.
Right.
Sure, we'll be back.
I'm 65 years old.
Look at our brand.
That's right.
Yeah.
I've been in business 120 years and I'm 65 myself.
Right.
I don't need to learn anything.
We'll tell you.
Right. Exactly. And I say, hey, you want a Kleenex for that nosebleed you're about to get?
Right. I was going to ask you, how is it that you think that Des Moines is getting well known for being a really aggressive business community, or at least there's lots of ideas? Because when I was looking at the top marketing blogs, I think two of the 20 were here in Des Moines.
Right. Well, I think, number one, there's a void, or a perceived void. I think the climate is right because there's availability. I think the climate...
Void where? I'm missing that.
There's a perceived void that we don't have enough of certain types of businesses in Iowa.
Okay?
I believe it's only a perception.
Okay.
And I think it's everywhere. San Jose probably thinks... We need more of certain businesses. We need to attract businesses to San Jose. So, but I think there's a certain sector of people who realize Iowa does not have borders that are impassable on either side. No fences.
Right.
Buy into the circle is a great saying. You know what? Sell into the circle is a reality. But it's a reality happening outside our circle. In other words, businesses outside of this buy into the circle are selling inside of our circle. Lamoni, the pizza guy, goes and gets a haircut from the Lamoni haircuttery, who goes and buys a prescription at the Village Drug, who goes to Amazon. Uh-oh, there goes our money. So there is money exiting. There are some businesses, like the top 20 marketing blogs that you see, and other businesses who say, we need to start selling outside of our circle. And those are the companies that are growing globally. I am in Iowa doing business globally. Why? Because it's easy. With the tools available to us. There are still Iowans who say, YouTube's a great idea. Nobody in Iowa is doing that. which is a false thing. They're not listening. There is somebody in Iowa doing that. It's called YouTube.
Okay.
It's a global business.
It is a global business.
And Iowa's part of the globe.
Okay. And the last question I have for you.
Why do I talk so much?
Not at all. I love it when you talk. I wanted to know who the next person I should interview is who's a blogger. Who's a blogger who you think exhibits those skills? I'm going to guess who it is based on it. I've heard the person's name a couple of times.
Yeah, and I've already said Drew McClellan, so I don't want to say it again. I don't get paid enough to say it.
Nah. We'll talk to Drew about that.
Yeah, that's true. I think I'd like to be profound. I think Doug Mitchell. Have you met Doug Mitchell?
Yeah.
Okay. I think Doug Mitchell would be a good one to talk to.
Excellent. I'll hold on.
Because he's got a totally different perspective.
Okay.
Mike Caldwell.
Who's that?
The person in charge of business acceleration.
Really?
For the Des Moines Partnership. I should introduce you to. In fact, we're thinking about doing a business roundtable discussion and podcasting it. And just no script, you have to be part of that.
Okay. Well, let me
but
know
he is a listener not just to conversation, but trend. To trends, really.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a complete listener.
Okay.
A universal listener.
Okay.
He's a business whisperer.